two dear, dear friends. I was thinking about it this morning. Angie, I don't even remember where you and I met. I think it was here at Celebration in a mom's group or in a life group. So I had a life group that met in a small home. And Angie, at the time, I think your youngest was in high school. Your two twins.
It's all a blur.
It's been a blur. That was like last year. And but I was a young mom raising a 5 and a 7-year-old, and I would just sit at the feet of Angie Bebel, and she would just share wisdom and experience and the word of God. And we were in a small mom's life group together, and God just knit our hearts together. And then Allie, we met, my husband and I were teaching in the nursery at Celebration Church because we were brand new to Texas, brand new to Celebration, and we were in the high school, and we were like, the best way for us to meet people who are in the same season of life as us is to just work in the nursery. And Allie was checking a baby into the nursery, and I was like, oh, okay, do you go to church here? She's like, I do, yes. And so I think that's how we initially met. And then I decided, you know, to lead a life group, to lead a women's Bible study, and Allie signed up for it. And I was like, what? Now I need to really do my homework. She's going to know, you know, if I'm not doing anything. But God just knit our hearts together from there. And so I'm just honored that both of these ladies are joining me tonight. So we've been in a 4-week study on unlocking the promises of God's word together. And the first week we talked about Peter and the miraculous catch of fish. And we talked about what obedience is and why we obey God. And then in week 2, we talked about obeying God when it doesn't make sense. And we talked about the widow at Zarephath. Remember, she had no food. It made no sense for her to prioritize the meal for the prophet over her own child. And we talked about how we press in and obey God even when it doesn't make sense. And then last week we talked about obeying God in a godless culture, and we talked about Noah and how many of you know it looks like rain outside in 2023, right? We could relate to that. And then tonight we're kind of putting a bow on it in Psalm chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But in Psalm chapter 1, as you read it and as you meditate on it, what I love about the lesson in Psalm chapter 1 is simply this. There is a difference between Christians and people who are Christ-centered. Christians will pray when they get into a foxhole or there's a crisis that erupts in their lives. They go to church when they're able to go to church or when it's convenient for them to go to church. But the promise in Psalm 1 that if you and I want to be like a tree that's planted by streams of living water where our leaf doesn't wither and we produce fruit in due season is where you and I center our lives around the gospel of Jesus Christ. It affects every decision that we make. It's how we govern our lives. It's how we sort of set a compass for the direction we're going to take. And so if you and I are going to walk out what God has for us, if we're going to grab hold of everything that he wants for us, we're going to have Christ-centered lives. So in Psalms chapter 1, I'm just going to read it really quickly. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the seat of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Friend, I just want to encourage you that hard seasons come. I don't think I'm breaking any news here to anybody, right? But your leaf does not have to wither as a result. And you will bear fruit. You know, a lot of times when we think about fruit, it occurs to me that the fruit isn't for the tree. The tree is drawing its nourishment from something else. The fruit is for someone else. Okay. And so when you are planted with other godly women and you are producing the fruit that God has called you to produce, you will be able to feed other people out of the abundance of the giftings and the talents that God has given you. And then they in turn will be able to minister to you. That's why everything in the gospel is conveyed relationally. You were never meant to live alone. And I hope tonight, as you hear these women's story, it inspires you to have your own God story and then to share it with someone else. It could be just the fruit that another woman needs to hear so that she holds on for a little bit longer and she can trust God for a little bit longer so that she can see the thing that God wants to do. And so I don't want to take any more time than that. I want to save the lion's share of the time for this powerhouse panel. But ladies, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself. And then why don't you share what you feel like God, a season where God called you to obedience and the result of that.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Angie Babel. And I see so many familiar faces here from life groups and Sunday school. And it's really nice to be here. I've been coming to this church for quite a while. I can't even remember. It was just so long ago. Almost from the beginning. But they had just moved over here when I started coming. And I've been so blessed by it. And I've been so blessed attending women's groups here. Awesome. I've been trailing and tagging on to Sarah all these years, going to her life group.
I've been tagging on to her.
But anyway, I'm married to the most wonderful man on the earth. His name's D'Artagnan, and we have four beautiful children. And I'm an empty nester. And I moved my parents down here right before COVID from Maryland, and I tend to them. That's my new job. Okay, I'd like to share with you a story of obedience to my husband, which ultimately was obedience to the Lord. Okay, my husband came home and announced that our family of six was going to go down to the Star of Hope. Have you all heard of the Star of Hope? They do. They tend to the homeless, and they have a men's section, a men's building, and a women's building, women and children. He said we were going to go down to the women on Christmas, and we were going to just tend to them and help with the festivities. He assigned all of us jobs. My sons were going to play basketball with the kids, and my daughters were going to face painting, and he assigned me to the prayer team. Well, sidebar, I've never prayed for strangers. I've prayed for family and friends and acquaintances, but I just never prayed for strangers before. And I was open to it because he said that there was going to be a leader there who would teach me everything I needed to know. So I was very grateful for that. And so I was open and I went. So we get down there and I'm with these group of 20 of us. And I'm kind of polling them. Who's done this before? Nobody has. We're all new. So we're waiting for the leader. And then all of a sudden the director comes flying by and he says, guess what? The leader's not going to be here. The leader's not going to be able to come. So we're all aghast, right? And my husband steps up and slaps me on the back and says, that's okay, Angie will lead. Well, you know how that is when you're talking through your teeth? And so I was just trying to tell him, like, no, 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 no. And stop, stop, stop. And he's just, you know, and I'm doing this, you know, stuff, I'm not doing it. And there were people that were more senior in age to me, and I'm thinking that they're more qualified for this. I mean, the whole purpose of coming down here really was for my children to have an experience with the underserved in the community. That's why we were there, okay? But my husband totally ignored me, and he said to all the prayer people, he says, just follow Angie's instructions, and he walks away. I'm petrified. I really don't know what to do. So what do? You pray. So we all got together and we prayed, and the ladies were milling around, and they were waiting for their Christmas meal, okay? So we prayed, and then we said, well, why don't we all just go and mingle and see if there's somebody we can pray for? So everyone's like, yeah, yeah, sounds like a plan. So as soon as we went like this, somebody yelled out from the kitchen, Christmas dinner is served! And all the ladies flooded by us and took off to go to the tables with the food. So we're standing there like, okay. So we ease on down to where they are. And so they're sitting there eating, and we're all standing there like this, staring at them, and not really wanting to disturb their dinner, right? You know, we're trying to be polite, but we're there if, you know, somebody wants prayer. and they've got this, you know, Christmas music, you know, playing in the background. And it was just like really weird because it's a jolly, jolly Christmas. And there's nothing jolly for these people, right? They have long faces. And so they're eating and they're looking at us and we're all bunched together. So the organizer came by and tapped me on the shoulder and says, "You do realize that when they finish eating, we're going to cut that big sheet cake. And as soon as we cut that cake, they're going to disperse. It's over." So now I'm like, no pressure. And I see my window of opportunity of prayer just going down. And so out of desperation, and this was truly, guys, desperation, I turned my back to them and I turned my face to the wall. And I started praying. And I started saying, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm calling on you because I know that you know these women that all have needs and you don't want them to be in this situation. And I know, Father, if you don't speak, if you don't show up, then this will be a wasted opportunity." And I said, "Speak, Father, your servant is listening." And I mean, I was like pleading to the wall, right? And he answered me. And I can talk about that later, but I know when he answers me, and he gave me an answer. So I flipped around, and I went over to the jolly, jolly Christmas music, and I turned it off, and I said, "Hi, everyone, you know, I'm Angie. I know you saw me talking to the wall, but I was really talking to the Lord, and I was asking him if I could be of help to you all and what he wanted me to do." And he told me that there's somebody here who's really angry. You don't want to be here. It's not your fault. And you're just furious about this. Come see me. I have a word for you. And then I turned the jolly, jolly music back on. Well, here's a woman in the back going, "That's a word for me." And I'm like, "Hallelujah, this is great." And I'm really thinking, okay, my kids are going to get the experience of being, you know, with the underserved. I'm going to pray for somebody and we're going to go home. This is awesome. And so here she comes up to me, and the download that the Lord gave me matched exactly her. And she had unforgiveness in her heart for somebody. She held somebody responsible for her being there. And I was able to just share with her about God had a plan for her life, and it's not all doom and gloom, and that he wants to be Lord of her life. And I told her that she could ask him into his life. You all know the story. And then I had her repent of her sins and to forgive this person and to ask Christ into her life. It was a beautiful thing. She's crying, we're hugging. And as we're doing this, another woman comes and she stands a few feet away. So, you know, I say goodbye to her, and this woman says, "I want that word." So I said, okay. And sure enough, she had the exact same issues of unforgiveness and bitterness, and it wasn't her fault she's in this situation. And I did the same spiel. I did the same thing, led her. And then another one, and then another one. And so here comes my helicopter husband, who, you know what, really should have been the leader, because he didn't have a job here, you know. But he observes me, and he sees what's going on. So he goes and finds a janitor closet nearby, and he throws out the broom and the bucket and the mop, and he's got two little stools in there. And when I finished praying for this woman, he threw me in there and threw me a box of tissues and set the next lady in. So here we are down there, knees to knees in this little closet, one woman after the other. Wow. We awesome. Ended up, I ended up leading 34 women to the Lord. And all of that came because I was obedient to my husband. You know, that was really, I mean, I was just like, "Well, you don't have a job, you know, you could do this." But I was obedient to him. And I know that some of them had children, and I just know that it changed the trajectory of their lives and their generations to come with that. So I come out of this closet, everybody's gone, like that director said, even the director was gone. And everything had been cleaned and put away. You would never know they had a Christmas celebration there. All that were left were my four children sitting there like this, waiting for me, and my husband. And for me, it felt like 30 minutes, but in actuality, it was several hours that I was doing that, and I had no idea. I really did not know it until it was over. But that was a wonderful thing. But my obedience to the Lord led to growth for me. I later became a prayer partner. and I pray for strangers, you know? And it was, and I do it with such ease. And I do it because I line my heart up to the Lord when I'm doing it. And when you have a posture lined up to, with Him, like I did that day, it's very easy to do that because it's not me, it's Him, right? And it went on, and I became a life group leader. And then I became a coach to other life group leaders. And then I taught Sunday school. And that experience really touched our lives with the homeless, with the women, single moms, that for the past 12 years, we have been mentoring young single moms. Mm. And it's just been a wonderful experience. But I say all this to say to you all, at some time, you're gonna have an opportunity as well. It may be a nudge, like me, or it may be Sarah or Debbie Starnes, we all know Debbie. Tapping you on the shoulder and asking you to do something. And it's so easy to say no, isn't it? It's so easy. And I just ask you to just pray about it and ask the Lord, because He guided me into those next steps. I took time and I prayed. I didn't just jump up and give an answer, but he guided and led me to do that. So that's my story of obedience.
That's awesome.
Hey, okay, I'll introduce myself. This morning I forgot that part. I went right into it. My name's Allie. Married to Frankie. We started the church together 18 years ago, June the 5th, 2005, I believe was the first day. So it's been 18 years. It's incredible. So I'm honored to be here with all of you guys. I know some of you and I haven't met some of you, but it's just a blessing to be here. So I just want to share my story. I have three kids. One's in college, one's 16, and one's 9. So we started over. We lost one in between, so we have kind of a whole other generation with our 9-year-old. It's quite interesting, but it's good, and it's a blessing. And I'm thankful for her, because I don't know what I'd do with one in college and not having her still home. But my story starts when I was 19, and it's kind of become really real to me about obedience with my daughter, who's 19 right now, and she's kind of in a bit of a place that I was in different ways. And 19 is a weird age. You're between 18 and 20. It's not like you're 18 again, you know, like graduating from high school, senior year, all the things, and then you're not 20, so you're not like moving on with life. It's like this in between. And she's there, and so there's just lots that comes with that. And I felt that, and so I'm gonna start when I was 19. I had just finished a gap year traveling. I took the money I made at McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's for 4 years during high school, and I decided I was gonna take some of that money and go traveling and take a gap year and not go straight to college, because I didn't have any money for college, and I needed to go make some more money. And so I traveled and worked and made money and all the things, and I came back thinking everything was gonna be the same. But it was so weird because everyone had moved on. They'd already done a year of college, or some of them were getting married, or some of them had moved, and I was just in limbo because it wasn't the same. And I remember just asking God, what do I do? And I just decided, we lived in my mom drove a car all through high school that went, and every time she dropped me off, it was like, do. And I was like, oh, please don't drop me at the door anymore. Like, let's stop halfway down and I'll walk the rest of the way. Like, we just had no money, and I would like go to the coffee shop and order hot water and lemon because I couldn't afford coffee. Like, it was just how I grew up. We lived in a 2-bedroom apartment. My mom slept in the dining room with a little gate up, and she gave me the master bedroom. She gave my brother the other bedroom, and that's how we lived. And my parents divorced when I was 7, so it was just like I just had to make a way. And so I moved to another province. I lived in Canada with my youth pastor. She was single at the time, and she was traveling and ministering, and I knew there was something in me knowing I'm called to ministry, but I'm supposed to go to college. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I moved. I got a job at a bank during the day, and then I waitressed at a restaurant, on the weekends, and then I did school at night. And I bused everywhere because I had no car. So I was busing, I was this, I was that, but I was just lost because I had moved, I had no friends, I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't go back. My mom had already moved into the master bedroom. I wasn't gonna sleep in the dining room. You know, and I laugh because God has brought us so far from those moments, but it was real. It was real then. And so I was just in a new city with new people, and I just was begging God to show me I knew there was something more, and I was like, God, show me more. Like, what do I do? What do you want from me? Like, I was just like, I'll do anything. What do you want? And I just felt like, after praying, I just felt this still small voice, like, go serve, like, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, and I will add all things to you. And I remember just standing on Matthew 6:33, okay, what do I do? And I had a friend who worked at the district youth office for the Assemblies of God. And I asked her if I could come help, and I could come serve, and I could come do something. And I'm thinking, maybe I'll be in meetings. Maybe they need my advice. I mean, I'm 19, and I know lots of things, and I'm a youth, and so I go in thinking all things, and I ended up stapling papers and, like, licking the envelopes and putting stamps on stuff and, like, photocopying, and I'm like, awesome. Like, I'm volunteering. I have to bus here. I should be making money while I'm, you know, like, I don't have time for this, God. What am I doing? But I just knew I was supposed to be there, and I was supposed to be around those people, and I just knew, you know, when you know. And I was just trusting him. And so sure enough, after a few months of just doing the same old thing, my friend said, hey, the district director, we're bringing in a speaker to the National Youth Conference in a couple weeks, and we don't have anyone to host her. Could you drive her to the airport and pick her up and take her to a hotel, take her to eat, do whatever she wants? Just could you do that and drive the minivan? And I'm like, sure. Who is she? How old is she? She's like, she's 54, and she's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's my mom. Like, I'm not, in my head, I didn't complain, but I'm like, I'm gonna drive my mom around for a weekend. Great, God. Like, another, like, this is an opportunity. This is, like, the most boring weekend of my life. Now, I'm almost, you know, 50 myself, coming up on it. I know Sarah and I are about the same age, so 50 is not old. It's just when you're 19.
Amen!
You don't want to hang out with your mom, okay? So, I pick her up, and she's the coolest 54-year-old I could ever meet. She's got blonde extensions. I guess back in the day, it probably would have been like Nike Dunks and cool jeans. Like, I mean, she just was not your typical. She was a national youth pastor to hundreds and thousands of kids. And I didn't know that, and I didn't know she was cool until I picked her up. So I drive her around all weekend, and we're connecting, and I'm just trying to be like super, I'm 19, I'm just trying to be super quiet and like honor her time so she can prepare to speak and this and that. And she puts me on the stage, and I'm thrown over some guy's shoulder. She likes to do dramas, and I become the suitcase of the drama, and I've got my whole rear end showing to 60,000 people, and I'm like, awesome, God. Like, all the things, I'm just, like, questioning it. And so by the end of that weekend, she looked at me, and she said, you know, what are you doing with your life? And I just looked back, and I said, I don't know. I don't know. And she said, I want to offer you something. And she said, I want you to come visit me in Chicago. No, we're in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. Chicago's really far. She's like, I want you to come visit me, and I want you to take my shoes, and I want you to walk in these shoes until you come see me, and I want to offer you the opportunity to visit, because maybe you'll want to intern and not have a ministry school. I just want to offer that to you. And in my head, I'm like, what? Like, this doesn't happen. But I waited about 6 or 7 months, because I was still in school and working, and I had no money to buy a plane ticket. But I just was, it was on my heart, I'm like, God, what if this is the rest of my life? And you put me in that room, you put me stapling and stamping and all the things, and maybe this is the thing that I was supposed to be obedient for. So I decided, and I brought this little paper, because back in the day, a lot of you guys won't even understand this, but we didn't have, like, Facebook Marketplace, we didn't have Craigslist, and all, I don't even think we had internet. And I put a little sign, and I told the Lord, like Gideon, I'm gonna fleece, and I said, if I can sell all my furniture, my futon, my dresser, my desk, my table, my chair, I will go and I will buy a ticket. So I put a little sign up, and I put my phone number on little tabs like this, so people could rip off my phone number and call me to buy this furniture. And I said, if it all sells, I'll go. And surely that one night, that evening, everything sold. Wow. And I was like, okay, I'm going. So I called my parents, and they were like, what? Like, no, you're not going to do it. But anyways, it all worked out. I fly down there for a week, I stay for two, and I end up, she offers me the internship and the ministry school, and eventually I met Frankie, and actually before too long, she told us that's actually the reason she brought me down, because she thought we would be married and be for each other. So 2 years later, I marry Frankie. We're called about 6 months later to work at Lakewood Church here in Houston. We interview, we end up moving. I'm like 21 years old at the biggest church in the nation going, I don't feel qualified. I don't know what's going on. I was just obedient back there. Now where are we now? And then 4 years after that, Frankie decides he wants to start a church. And I'm like, no, I'm 25. We're about starting a church. And sure enough, it was another moment of obedience. And now here we are 18 years later with you guys all in this room. And it's just an incredible thing to watch what God can do when we say yes, even when we don't know why we're saying yes or why we're doing things. It seems like it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
yeah. like you guys have studied, or it seems like you don't want to do it. Like, you don't want to say yes to your husband. I did not want to say yes. I did not understand that I was qualified at 25 to pastor women, or what if he wants me to speak, for goodness sakes? Like, I don't even know how to, you know, all the things, but just out of obedience, I said yes, and now here you are. And I just want to share this one thing I heard last week by Sadie Robertson. I've been listening to her a lot, and she's part of the Duck Dynasty thing, but when I she gave this example. When I was raising my daughter, my oldest, all my kids, I did baby wise, which is like a sleep training thing where you put them in the crib and you let them self-soothe and they cry themselves to sleep. And it's hard and they're crying, but they do learn how to put themselves to sleep eventually. And I would be at the door with my ear and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I would lay on the carpet in the night, like wanting to go in and soothe her. But she was probably in there thinking, my mom doesn't care. My mom is not even here. She doesn't even hear me. I mean, who knows what they're thinking it too. She's like, this is a problem. Like, what is happening to me? But really, I had intentionally positioned her in that crib to prepare her for what I had for her later that day. She needed to be in that crib napping to gain the strength for what I had for her later. And I think sometimes in this room, sometimes we're like, what is going on? This is a problem. The situation I'm in doesn't make sense today. But God has an intentionally, purposefully put you there because he's preparing you for what he has. And so whatever it looks like, whether you don't understand or you can't figure it out, just know there's a plan. And yes. Obviously God loves us way more than I love my own daughter. And so he has a plan and it's coming forth. You just have to be patient.
That's so good.
All right, so we wanted to open the floor for questions so that you could ask the Brain Trust, and by Brain Trust, I mean these ladies, any question that you have. So if you have a question, just shoot your hand up. What I love about each of their stories is that if the Lord can trust you in a broom closet, he can trust you in the altar. If he can trust you stapling papers, he can trust you with people. And so a lot of times we overlook opportunities because we don't see that opportunity, to Allie's point, is about strengthening us for what God has for us next, right? So that just blessed me, guys. Thank you so much. All right, so any questions? And I am a veteran life group leader, so I am not afraid of silence, and I will make eye contact until someone breaks. I've been trained by the best. So any questions? Yeah, we'll make it really awkward. I do have one. I'll get us started. Okay, go ahead, Crystal.
So my question for Angie and Allie, for you, like when you, Angie, when you were, you know, trying to be obedient, what was your go-to Bible verse? And then for you, Allie, what was your go-to Bible verse when you were like, confused and like didn't know where in life you were going, because I feel like a lot of us are going through that right now. Like, we're not where we want to be. And what was the Bible verse that helped you?
Well, in that case, it was honoring my husband. And I mean, it was really hard. I've got to tell you. I mean, I'm looking at him like he didn't have a job, you know, and he could have led that. And no, really, I was a little, you know, tick, but I honored him. And just to honor your husband, that was what was the forefront of my mind at that time. I need to honor my husband. Don't like it, but I'm gonna do it. And we'll talk about this later, okay?
Yeah. Mine has always been Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. But sometimes we don't know what the steps are. And we are like, that verse always also confused me, but I always have said, I'll step because you're directing me.
Yes.
And I think we're afraid to step. And so when I put that little sign up, that was a step. And then he did the next thing.
That's right.
And the next thing. And so I think we have to, even if it's a flashlight, we can only see this far in front of us. Like you go in your backyard nowadays at this time of night, you can't see anything. Just step and step and keep listening and step. Because he'll speak and he'll lead and he'll guide you, whether it's through a friend or a Bible study or just your still small voice in your mind.
And the other thing that I do outside of that experience, when I'm up against something, I go get the word. I go get the scripture. And I think I shared with our Sunday school class, there's this app called Shut Up Devil. And I download it on my phone. And I can get scriptures over about any specific topic, you know, depression, anger, rejection, you know, all of that. And I can save it in that app. Like I have scriptures all over the place, right? Yeah. But here I can keep them in that app and I can pull it up. But getting the word, I put it in my journal, and then I start saying, Father, your word says that you take pleasure in my prosperity, and I decree that to be so, and I declare, Father, that you are taking pleasure right now in my life, in my circumstances where I am. Your word says, Father, that you will perfect all that concerns me, and I decree that to be so. I declare that you're perfecting me in this situation. So I always find the word. Go find the word and start. It should just start speaking it, decree it, and declare it over your life, your loved ones, or your situation.
That's good. Can I grab that mic from you? Hey, so this is also your gift tonight is actually what the Lord says about you. So it's actually a love letter from Jesus to you. And so if you ever are in a place where you're like, I've missed the boat, or God, I don't even know if I'm doing the right thing. I don't even know the next thing to do. That's what this letter is, to just put about 100 scriptures in your hand that you can read and just speak over yourself. And nothing arrests a lie faster than the truth.
Amen.
So don't reason with a lie. Don't explain a lie. You just declare the truth over that lie, and it's going to run for the hills. So that's a really good question, Crystal. All right, who has another one? Yeah, CJ, right?
Are there any books that you guys recommend on being an excellent wife?
The Bible. Books on being an excellent wife.
I would say the Bible.
That's good.
Yeah, there's, if you're, and I would just say too, a book that ministered to me before I got married was What to Do While You're Waiting by Michelle McKinney Hammond. And I was 27 or 26, moved totally away from my family, and was working in DC, taking the subway like an hour from where I lived to where I was going. And I honestly thought in that season I had missed God, because I turned down what looked like the perfect job. And I'm sitting there on this subway, and I used that hour train ride coming and going, and I read that book and stayed in the Word and just had to talk myself out of being a weapon against myself. Because sometimes, you know, you guys know the scripture, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Well, sometimes we're a weapon formed against ourselves, causing ourselves not to prosper. And so in that season, What to Do While You're Waiting. The other one is Understanding God's Will by Bill Bright. Those were foundational books for me when I was in a season of I don't know what's next, but I can't stay here. And those two books just ministered to me and helped me in a trying season. And I recommend those in addition to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. There's one called Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. It's really good, not just for your spouse and your relationship, it's so helpful, but it's for children, it's for everything. Like, it's so good, because it's oftentimes all working together, you know, how we're treating our kids, our husband, our friends, ourselves. So it's a good one.
Yeah. Anybody else? More questions? Yeah, LaTanya.
Like, I find myself in a position of, like, it's constant confusion. Like, God told me to buy this car, so I go to buy the car, and I have the hardest time. But I know he told me about a car. So I get in the car, I go to the car wash, come back, there's all on seats. I can go to work and say good morning. Well, what's wrong with you today? It's just like everything, and I was been praying, I was like, okay, God, it's like everything I'm touching is just hard or confusion. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, what do I do to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And it's just been, you know, I'm really grateful, but things just seem to be a constant struggle. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. So I just don't know how to get out of this season. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you have any advice?
Well, in the past and in the future, I know when it happens, I look around at my life, and if I see things kind of going wrong, like, you know, this is happening and that's happening and this is happening, I get like on red alert.
Yeah.
I just go like, oh, hold up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an opening here. There's a gap here. There's something. The enemy has got a way in here, and I got to shore this up. And so then that's when I start warring, and I start speaking over my life. I ask the Lord to reveal to me if there's any area that I have. But I've asked. When I ask, he answers, okay? I mean, like, I've said to him, you know, Lord, I think I'm doing everything right. This is years ago, okay? I was young in my walk. But I said, you know, I'm doing all these right things. And, you know, if there's anything that I'm not doing, you know, I'd like for you to show me so that I can correct it. Wham! You know, I mean, I was like, oh! And I realized there was somebody that had hurt my feelings 11 years ago. And I didn't have venom or hate toward the person, but I was dismissed and went on. And that was unforgiveness. And I had to go close that up. And I did. I was like, woo, okay. And I closed it up. And the person I went to, I told her what she had done. It was a relative and how it hurt me. And her response was, well, I don't even recall ever doing that.
Oh, wow.
But it sounds like something I would have done. And for that, I apologize. You know, but we close that up. But anytime I see a lot of stuff going on, it's not supposed to be, because I'm a child of the Most High God, you know? And so I get down on my knees. Father, you just reveal to me, show me if I have an opening, if there's something that I have. And sometimes it's unforgiveness, you know, but what is it that's happening? And show me, and we'll close it up together here. And he will reveal. He says, call upon me and I will answer you. You know, I'll show you. He says, I'll guide you with my eyes. And I use that all the time when I misplace my keys, you know. And, you know, I'm counting on you, God. Which way? Do I go here? Do I go there? And he shows me.
That's good.
So I just speak right now over your life, and in the name of Jesus, I just declare that if there is anything open, any open gate in her life, I just declare right now, by the blood of Jesus, we close that up and we vacate that from her life. In Jesus' name, we speak the blood of Jesus over her, and we declare that she will live a prosperous and happy life, that the Lord has wonderful plans for her life, and they're going to come to fruition. And we declare that anything that has been taken from her will be returned, multiplied times 7. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. The other thing, when you were sharing, LaTanya, there's a story in John chapter 6, verse 16, and this is where Jesus walks on the water and he meets the disciples in the middle of the sea. They were in the center of God's will for their life, obeying the word of the Lord, and the storm overtook them. And sometimes you can be in the center of God's will for your life and a storm will come on you because there's a great door of opportunity, there are many who oppose you.
That's true.
And there are two things in that story that I cling to in those seasons. The first is that when Jesus came to them, he did not tell the storm to be still. He said, fear not, it is I.
Right.
He spoke to their hearts, and that gave them peace. So the storm could keep going. And so when I'm in that season, I say, Holy Spirit, you have got to speak to my heart. Because it's deceitful, and it will lead me astray, but your voice is true. And this third thing in that season and in that situation is, if you read the account in John, it says that as soon as Jesus got into the boat, immediately they made it to the other side. There was a miracle of acceleration. So they had been rowing and only got to the center of the lake. The Lord spoke to their heart, and there was an acceleration. So you are not missing God. Hell will tell you that you've missed God, and the Holy Spirit will say, wait for me. And you've got to just trust the voice that knows you and the one that has made you and the one that is ordering your steps. And he is faithful. Praise God.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Angie, that's what she's in my life group. Close the gate! Close the gate! Listen. and go anoint my husband's pillow. Do it now, Angie. Do it now. Woo. I got a 16-year-old son coming up right here, right now, Angie. Right here, right now. All right. Anybody else have another question? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
The voice.
Yes.
Oftentimes we struggle with hearing and knowing the voice of the Lord. You mentioned that you turned to the one who said the prayer. Can you expound for us what happened in that moment that made you know you were connected to the Lord?
It comes with practice, and it comes with being still in His presence. But when He speaks, what I was saying this morning about that is that I know it was Him, because in a nanosecond, I got a complete download that it would take a human, you know, time to explain. But like, I got the whole thing. I knew the whole picture.
That's good.
And so that's when I know. I had an incident with one of my daughters. She was riding horses. You all know how these sports are and these activities with these kids. And this horse thing was getting in the way of our Saturdays. So we decided to make her go out there and take her lessons around 6 a.m. so we could go on with the family. So my husband would take her out to the barn, and she would have to get Sammy ready. And Sammy's an old, docile horse. And she would have to saddle him up and get him ready for the instructor, and the instructor would show up. This particular morning, my husband took her, and I'm straightening up, I guess, in the kitchen or something, and all of a sudden, in that nanosecond, I got, pray for Alicia now, disfigurement. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it came like, just like that, you know what I mean? And so I was like, whoa, okay, and I went and prayed over that until I forgot about it. You know, that's when you know it's done. I got distracted and went on and did something else. Well, later when she came home, the first thing she said was, "You were praying for me today." And I went, "Yeah, I was. What happened?" Well, as she was bringing Sammy out of the barn, something spooked Sammy, and he went up on his hind legs and was about to come down his hoofs on her head.
Oh my gosh.
And that was, and I tell you what, I mean, yeah, I've told everybody, I taught my children, when I tell you to do something, you do it immediately, completely, without complaint. Mm-hmm. And my husband yelled, "Lacey, run!" And she dropped the reins and she ran. You know, without, you know, some kids will go, "Well, why?"
Yeah.
You know, "Oh, I don't want to go." You know, and all of that. But she responded. She obeyed like that, just as his hooks came down. But the Lord spoke to me in a nano. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just,
I don't know
how else to say it.
That's
but,
good.
But when I want to hear from Him, I get still.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And He, it just comes. And I praise Him. I don't just like sit there, but I just say, "Lord, I know you, I got this situation. I know I need you. And I just thank you for answering. I thank you." Like sometimes if I'm going to minister over someone, I will, before I even meet the person, I will go and ask Him, "Just show me what I need to know about this situation. I just thank you, Father, for showing me. You love that person. I know, you know, I'm just the vessel and show." And He gives me a download.
That's
and
good.
Then as I'm talking to the person, sure enough, there it is.
It's really good. You
know, I could almost tell them ahead of time.
That's good. Allie, what about you? How do you know it's the Lord?
Well, I was just thinking, like, a lot of times He speaks to me in worship, and it's when almost 95% of the time is when I'm in worship, and just because I just feel His presence and I know He's speaking to me. And then the other thing is when I'm able to worship and be in the Word and really read and not, you know, there hasn't been a whole bunch of weeks or days in between that, it's, I want to say, I don't know if you want to use the word in sync, but it's like the word I might have got yesterday or what I read just happens to be what somebody comes up for prayer about on a Sunday, and I'm like, "Man, I just read that," and it's confirmation to me that the Lord had me reading that for them. But if, had I not been reading that day or that day or that day or praying or worshiping, or, you know, it's just this, we are meant to be in constant communion and constant interaction with Him, and then it's not just for us, but it's for each other. And so I just, I'm not perfect. Just, I can't, I mean, we're all human, but when I am in that rhythm, it's such a blessing, because you not only builds your own faith by seeing him give you things for others or for your daughter or for your son, and especially with teenagers, man, you need to be in the,
yeah.
You need to be in the Lord. But yeah, that's right.
I would say too, if you're trying to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, test him in little things.
Yeah.
I shared this testimony before when I was like in fourth grade. My Sunday school teacher said I could hear the voice of the Lord, and I didn't know if it was true if I was too little. And so I told the Lord, I said, wake me up at 7:53 tomorrow morning. I wasn't going to trust like it was I heard the garage door or the dog barked. I was like, no, 7:53. I was an overthinker. And sure enough, I was sleeping soundly, and my eyes just opened, and I looked at my clock, and it was 7:53. I'll give you another testimony. Avery was in the car with me on the way to Galveston, and we were listening to a teaching from Pastor Robert Morris, and it was on tithing. And she had, you don't know what your kids, more is caught than taught.
That's right.
And I was just listening because I was vetting curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so she earned some babysitting money, and unbeknownst to me, she tithed on it and didn't tell her family. And then sure enough, another opportunity came for her to babysit. And I remember it came out of the blue, this opportunity. And she said, oh my gosh, it's true. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, God honors his word. And I felt the Holy Spirit in that moment say, Sarah, she's tested me in this. She will test me in more. And I will always be faithful. And so friends, I just test in the little things. Say, Lord, I need wisdom about, and just nothing is too small, right?
Yeah.
And it builds your confidence, because if you can hear him at an alarm clock or with this little thing, it will lead and it will grow your faith so that you can hear him in more and more. On a practical level, girls, the voice of the Lord will always agree with his word. It will never be in conflict with his word. It will always come to you with hope, and the result will be peace. And if those three boxes are not checked, then you need to really ask yourself if you're hearing from the Lord.
Right. And you can ask him to confirm.
Yes.
And he will do that.
That's good.
Yeah, sometimes I may not want to know the answer I think he's going to say, so I'll tell him three times.
The Gideon, right?
Just do it three.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And he will.
I think we have time for one or two more. You guys have one more question, two more questions? Nobody wants to be the last one. Yeah.
So actually, just listening, I love to talk. When I think of obedience, I ask that the word that comes to me is willing. God wants willing vessels. He's going to do it.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly right.
What did she say?
Be willing.
Be willing. Be willing. Because he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And
I would say this too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But the other thing was God's voice. I've noticed to differentiate three voices. One is God. God's voice will never convince me. Even if he's correcting me, it won't come in conversation.
Right.
It will always come to uplift.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you.
But I really like that about he's always uplifting.
Yes.
And that we go through the day. I know we all hear condemnation, you know, thoughts about ourselves, about other people, and you know that, and we know that's not from him.
That's good, Ange. Mm-hmm. All right, one more before we close it out.
Well, what were you going to say?
Honestly, I don't think it was.
She was going to say something.
No, that's okay. Obviously, it's okay. It's totally okay. I don't get paid by the word, so I'm golden. I've met my quota for today. Yep. Yep. Anything else, ladies? All right. Well, where do we go from here? I would hope that you'll go from here with a challenge. A challenge to just, one, trust the Lord's voice. Know that you are like sheep. John says this. It's the words of Jesus. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they obey. You will do it in that order. You will know his voice. You will hear it and you will obey. And the other thing I would say is always look for an opportunity to build somebody else's faith. And it's supernatural. I don't run around like with my big study Bible and go, you'll never believe. But in natural relationship, opportunities come up. I don't know, Sarah, what should I do? Or I've been debating and I'll say, you know what? And I'll just ask the Holy Spirit, not weird, but the Holy Spirit, if you will stay ready, he will make sure that you have the opportunities to bless his people. And then I just say, you know what? When I'm in a situation like that, I just ask the Lord X, Y, Z, right? And a lot of times people think I'm crazy because I bring the Lord into everything. But I'll tell you what, most of the time they lean in because they're hungry and they're looking for direction. So those are our challenges, that you would hear the voice of the Lord, that you would know it and you would obey, and that you would have an opportunity for the Lord to use you, that you would find your yes moment, whether it's a broom closet or stapling or whatever it is that God's called you to do, that you would just be available to be used by his kingdom in the name of Jesus, that we would grow together as women so that we could bring more in and that we could be stronger and better together. So that's what we hope for. And then next year, we are going to have women's Bible study. We're still working on the schedule. And we'd be honored if you stay a part and serve with us. We'd love to do that with you and live life with you. So with that, I'm going to pray. And then you're going to have some time to visit at your table for a few more minutes. And I'm sure there's some cookies or something else over there we can eat. But let me pray for us. Oh, thank you. Lord Jesus, Father, I thank you so much for every single woman in this room. Father, I thank you that Ephesians 2:10 is the promise verse over every single believer, that we are your workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you have prepared in advance for us to do. Father, you have prepared every single woman for the works you have for her, and you are preparing her. Father, I thank you for clarity. I thank you for just an ear to hear the voice of the Lord. And Father, I thank you for just a hunger for your word, that we want to obey, that we want to respond. Yes. And God, I thank you for faith-building moments, whether it's an alarm clock moment, whether it's, Lord, tell me what to do here. And when we do it, we see a confirmation, Father God. And it'll allow us to trust you for more and more. God, I pray for women who aren't in this room yet. God, I thank you that they're coming. God, that every woman here is going to have an assignment, and God is going to highlight a woman and she'll say, hey, I don't know all of it, but let me take you to the book that does. Let me take you to the Savior who does. Let me show you the love that I've experienced in Jesus. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for the assignment on celebration, and that we are each a part of that assignment. God, I ask that you would bless every woman here, that you would keep her safe, that you would keep her foot from falling in Jesus' name, and that you would honor your word in her life like she's never seen it before. Yes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.